Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
So I cannot get past the part of this story when the disciples scream in terror because they had seen a ghost. They had just been on the shore with Jesus and the multitudes. Do you remember? 5,000 men, not including women and children, who are miraculously fed with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And after all of this, Jesus, who really needed a break, sends everyone away. Everyone. Every last man, woman, and child. Jesus sends them all away. He creates this space between himself and the disciples. They had been gathered on the shore, but from here, Jesus sends the disciples out into the sea, onto the sea, in their boat, while he himself, alone and with nothing, climbs a mountain. So Matthew's gospel has these settings for Jesus' ministry. The wilderness is John the Baptist's home, and it is a place where Jesus is tempted, and it reminds us of these liminal moments for Moses back in Exodus, and also for the people of Israel in the wilderness. There's the sea by which Jesus makes his home. He walks along the shore. He calls the disciples. Jesus teaches the crowds on the shore, sometimes using the boat as a platform. And the shore is a place where all of the people are. Jesus heals and feeds and teaches there. The crowds gather there and they follow him around. They're hungry for good news. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus climbs a mountain, which is reminiscent of Moses climbing the mountain and receiving the law and commandments. Jesus teaches a renewal of that law and commandments that emphasizes humility and integrity. And we've seen the boat before, too. The people who are on the boat first are the disciples, and Jesus first calls them to join him on shore, and they do, but they also get back into the boat with Jesus. If you flip back a few chapters, you'll find the disciples are terrified about a storm that is raging and it's rocking the boat and it's threatening to sink it. And all the while, Jesus is asleep. He's asleep. And when they wake him up, he asks them why they were so afraid. And then he calms the wind and the sea. And this is all relevant, especially in Matthew's gospel, because there are so many thematic clues that are meant to impart theological significance. And now the disciples are in that boat again and once again facing a storm, but this time Jesus isn't there. So the mountain is a place of teaching and for the law and for union with God. And the shore is a place of ministry and of healing. And the boat is the church sailing the sea of the mission field. I'm not making this up. Truly. And it links back to Noah's Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, and the way that sanctuaries have been often built to look like the inside of an upside-down boat. You can take a look. Can you see the resemblance? It's a place of safety, of security, of sanctuary. And those in the church aren't meant to stay here in the church forever, but also to go out and do ministry. When Jesus first calls his disciples, he says he's going to teach them how to fish for people. They leave their nets and their boats, and they go on shore to fish for people. And that has been the church's mission for 2,000 years. Now, the United Methodist Church has only been around for half a century, but our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. It still carries that same tradition, but I think that it has a much better ring to it than fishing for people, don't you? Anyhow, the point is, the boat that the disciples are on, out at sea, being tossed around by the wind and the waves, represents the church being tossed around by the storms of the day. And the first time Jesus wasn't there, the first time Jesus was there, but he wasn't concerned about the storms. He slept through it. But when the disciples cried out in fear, he calmed the storm and calmed their fears. But this time, Jesus isn't there. And the storm is raging. And once again, the disciples are getting scared. And now, very early in the morning, before dawn, they see a figure walking toward them on the water. So they're battling a storm, and then they see a ghost on the water walking toward them, a sign that their ship was about to be sunk. We might think to ourselves today, oh, how silly, there's no such thing as ghosts. But for the disciples, it was a very real fear. They were completely terrified. The boat, or the church, without Jesus, would sink. Now, this moment in Matthew's gospel is foreshadowing the way in which Jesus, following his death and resurrection and the 40 days with the disciples, and he ascends to heaven, and he leaves the disciples down here with the rest of us to keep the ministry going. Jesus is way up on the mountain, but the disciples are way out on the boat. And the sea is stormy. And what happens? Well, what happens at Pentecost? The Holy Spirit of God enters their midst, and Christ becomes alive through the church. But the disciples were scared. And they were scared at Pentecost. They were scared in the boat, in the story. They were scared because Jesus was executed by the state. They were scared because angry mobs threatened their lives and sometimes killed them. If you were here last week, Stephen gave some context for Matthew's gospel. But if you weren't here, I'll give a little refresh. It was written for a generation, the second generation of Christians, people who may not have known Jesus personally, but who understood the need for salvation and deliverance in the fear of terror. It was written after the Romans had completely destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed their temple, cut the city off from all resources, and surrounded it with crosses so that anyone trying to escape faced certain death. We hear the disciples ask in these same gospels, Jesus, is now the time you're going to return the kingdom to Israel? A question that is answered by the reality that their expectations were not met. The church is a boat in a storm. The church is and always has been a boat in a storm. The church faces storms even today. At Asbury First, we might not be fully aware of just how fortunate we are to be able to worship and pray and live out our faith without fear of persecution or death, as so many people have, even within our lifetime. That isn't to say that everything is rosy. The church in America, though living through relatively peaceful times, is going through a particularly rocky moment. So this year at annual conference, it's the annual conference of the United Methodists of Upper New York, we had a memorial service for all the clergy and clergy spouses who had died over the last year. We always leave space to lift up the names of lay members to annual conference who had died, and I heard one name that rung out like a bell across the body of 1,200 people. Marilyn Oakes. Now, Mrs. Oakes was our children's ministry director. I went to a really great church growing up. It was very much like Asbury, but with a lot less affluence. The senior minister that was there when we joined studied at Union Theological Seminary, and he went on to be the dean at Perkins School of Theology and the chair of the Judicial Council for the denomination. And we had a huge and excellent worship and arts program, a thriving youth group, a family group, outreach programs that would knock your socks off, and VBS was epic. How many of you grew up in a church? Yeah? A lot of us did. Now, do you remember the 80s and 90s in the church? Yeah? They were really great church years. They were awesome. Attendance was high and stable, and everything. The outreach suppers, the nursery, the library, the musical, the Sunday school, the contemporary band. I don't know if Asbury ever had one of those, but our church did. Significant building maintenance and repair. Everything was volunteer-led by people like Mrs. Oaks. Mrs. Oaks ran the Sunday school program and the Vacation Bible School, and she was excellent, and it was excellent, and in her presence, our behavior was, you guessed it, excellent. I distinctly remember the Sunday when Mrs. Oaks handed me a shovel at the end of our church service. One child from each grade got a shovel, and I was so honored. Now, we all marched behind Mrs. Oaks, carrying our shovels, and the rest of the congregation followed. We marched downstairs through our fellowship hall and out the door, and we all put our shovels in the ground, and everyone sung and prayed and clapped as we broke ground on our new education wing. But by the time I got home from college, I was surprised to find that one of the rooms had been converted to storage. And soon after that, another room was used primarily for GED classes. They had more trouble staffing the nursery. And so on and so on. And this year, Mrs. Oaks died. Churches, those boats in the storm, they have life cycles. Most often, healthy, thriving churches have experienced what Tom Rainer in his book, Autopsy of a Deceased Church, fun read, refers to as slow erosion. So there's like a natural, normal state, rate of atrophy for like all organizations. In order for a church to stay stable, it has to grow at the same rate of atrophy. That's to say, as people stop being as involved or step away from leadership for whatever reason or die, the church has to develop new leaders and engage new unchurched people just as quickly. So there's just run-of-the-mill organizational atrophy as people move or get sick or have life changes or get burned out. But then there's also decline. And this is what I'm talking about. This is what's rocking the boat. The Christian church in America had this little golden era in the post-World War II years with record attendance in worship. And then it began to decline, first slowly in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and then almost precipitously in the last 20 years. Most churches in the U.S. today are burying more people than they are baptizing. To further the context, in May, our General Conference of the United Methodist Church will meet. The General Conference is the denominational decision-making body for the whole denomination. And the budget that we are receiving for our denomination-wide mission and ministry is being cut by 40%. This might not be the same stormy waters that the disciples were facing in the first century of Palestine. We're not under attack, but the church is certainly up against a headwind. I would say that Asbury First is very well positioned, given several factors, to weather the storm. But I can't pretend that we're immune from it. And we do see signs that the wind and the waves may rock the boat from time to time, don't they? We're not isolated from other congregations within our denomination or within our community, other churches, other boats in the same storm. I've been serving in some form of United Methodist ministry for over 2 decades, and the conversation that has dominated the last 20 years is this: where did everybody go? Now, I'm telling you this because it has gotten to the point where I had internalized it as the main goal or purpose of ministry, to discover the trends and develop pathways for people to join us on the boat. And that boat needs to look like the thriving church of the 80s and 90s. The message of our storm, the decline of Christianity, has dominated now for so long that the gospel message sometimes gets lost. And here is where the church in America finds itself, a boat in a storm, worrying about the raging waves, the masses of people who have other things to do on Sunday morning and other ways to spend their money. And when we look out, we see ghosts. We are afraid of the ghosts. We ask, why aren't people coming? Why can't we get volunteers? Over 20 years, I've heard and seen at least 100 ghosts. Families don't attend because of sports. Young adults don't attend because of brunch. People just want to stay in their pajamas all day. What else have we heard? The building is aging, and we're always getting asked to pay for repairs. The pastor is a woman. It's true. The pandemic, apathy, Christian nationalism, retail stores are open, the news media, sexism, racism, homophobia, misconduct, uneducated clergy, educated clergy, conflict, lack of morals in young people today, said like this, and lack of morals in the church. Church politics. The list goes on. Some are obviously just a white sheet draped over a chair. It's the things that seem to be trends, that seem to have big, scary teeth and loud voices that really scare us. I feel like this is the thing that I am called to preach today, because even if these conversations haven't dominated your life like they have mine, they are a huge part of the backdrop of religious life in America today. So whether you're thinking about it or talking about it or not, it impacts your experience of church. And I've spent the last 20 years of my life diving deep into this system, doing congregational development, and I see the anxiety that drives decisions. We point into the storm and we say, oh man, there is a ghost out there. What are we going to do about it? Or what is the senior minister going to do about it? Or what is the staff going to do about it? And Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Savior, says, peace. Don't be afraid. I'm right here. How often do we focus on the bad news and miss the good news? The church is growing, just not the institutional church in America. It's spreading more quickly in places where the seas are even stormier, where poverty and war and environmental damage devastate the populations. And communities that have been historically marginalized or colonized by the white Christian church are celebrating some of the shifts and changes that, to many of us, look like decline and loss. Maybe we're just afraid of ghosts. It's not like we shouldn't address injustice or climate change. We should. It's just that we don't need to live in fear when Jesus is calling us into freedom. Jesus walks on water to the disciples in the boat. He doesn't offer a reading list or a program or an additional training about how to sail the boat in a storm. He doesn't react or even respond to the wind and the waves. He responds to the disciples' fear. He says, peace, don't be afraid, I'm right here. How can we learn to recognize our fear that way, the way that Christ does? How can we learn to rest even in the storm? When we start to feel anxious and afraid, Can we learn to look and listen for the good news? Can we learn to live in hope? We know that our security is not the size of the church. It is in God's grace for us through Christ. We are secure in grace. We have nothing to fear. We can't control the wind and the waves as Christ does. We live and we die. Boats need to be repaired and retired and replaced. We go through our lives much as the church does, with ups and downs, with rises, with falls, with heartbreak, and with healing. The good news is we are secure. The church can still be that boat in the storm, not focused so much on how it is being rocked, but how it is offering safety and sanctuary to a world in need. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.